Have New a great year. Week.
Yeah, and happy birthday to our homeboy.
To our Clarence, yay.
Hey, you know.
You guys all go celebrate.
So thank you all for tuning in this morning to the Urban Cafe. And with that, we're going to go ahead and also thank you to Dr. Steve Perry and to Walter Griggs.
Most definitely.
That was phenomenal. That was one of the better conversations we've had in the studio. And so it was just fantastic. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Have a great day.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. They can come closer than close. Yeah. Original, they
live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. President Trump is contradicting his initial announcement of a rapid withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria because ISIS is defeated.
We won't be finally pulled out until ISIS is gone.
Trump made the comment this morning as he left the White House for Camp David and talks with his staff about southern border security and the government shutdown. Police in Texas have arrested a 20-year-old black man in connection with last weekend's drive-by shooting that killed 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes, who is black. The shooting drew national attention after the suspect was described as white and the shooting was thought to be a hate crime. NPR's Amy Held reports police now say her killing may have been a case of mistaken identity.
A 20-year-old man was arrested in Harris County, Texas, and has been charged with capital murder. Police say a tip led them to him, and he subsequently admitted to taking part in the shooting. The investigation is ongoing, and police say other suspects could be charged. Jasmine was riding in a car with her mother and three sisters early last Sunday in the Houston area when another vehicle pulled up and somebody opened fire. The rest of the family survived. Investigators say they do not believe the family was the intended target of the attack. With the rallying cry, "Justice for Jasmine," the 7-year-old's death has sparked national outrage. Her funeral is set for Tuesday. Amy Held, NPR News.
A relatively low-ranking U.S. trade delegation has arrived in Beijing for talks this week to follow up on President Trump and Chinese President Xi's agreement to postpone new tariffs for 90 days. Nissan Motor Company is announcing more executive shifts weeks after Nissan's former CEO was arrested. John Matthews reports in Tokyo the automaker says its chief performance officer is on a leave of absence.
Chief performance officer Jose Munoz was to attend the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and Nissan now says he won't be appearing and that he's taking a leave of absence to, quote, concentrate on special tasks arising from recent events. Neither Munoz nor Nissan has clarified further. The CPO was seen both as a potential successor to the CEO and as an ally of former chairman Carlos Ghosn. Ghosn remains in Japanese police custody since November 19th. He's charged with underreporting about $45 million of income. He's to be in court Tuesday, his first public appearance since the arrest. Ghosn is expected to continue to maintain his innocence. For NPR News, I'm John Matthews in Tokyo.
Election officials in the Democratic Republic of Congo say they will not meet today's deadline to release the results of last weekend's landmark presidential election. They say more than half the ballots have not yet been tallied. This is NPR News. Brazil's new government, led by Jair Bolsonaro, is deploying hundreds of military police to a northeastern state to crack down on a wave of attacks on banks and public buildings. The confrontation is seen as a first test of Bolsonaro, who promised to end an epidemic of violent crime. Top leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have updated their temple ceremonies with more inclusive language for gender equality. Daisha Eaton of member station KUER reports reaction has erupted on social media.
Church member Sarah Vrain says she witnessed the changes firsthand this past week. She says it was a huge relief because she no longer feels that she needs a man as an intermediary in her relationship with God.
It was sexist language. Sexism still exists in the church. This one change overnight is not going to eradicate it. But this is progress. We still have more to go. And I hope that the church leaders will start to have women be more involved in positions of leadership.
Changes were reportedly made to the endowment ceremony, among others, a ritual in which participants reenact the biblical creation and the fall of Adam and Eve. For NPR News, I'm Daisha Eaton in Salt Lake City.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association hands out Golden Globe Awards later today in Los Angeles. Vice, a satirical look at former Vice President Dick Cheney, has the most nominations. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Melville Charitable Trust, driven by one goal, ending homelessness for good. Learn more online at melvilletrust.org and on Twitter at Melville Trust. And Americans for the Arts at americansforthearts.org.
Shadows cast by rainbow, there you'll meet the sage. Feeding rabbits bits of lettuce or cleaning out the cage. He can give you more direction than you've ever known. Show you your bronze baby shoes now, my how you have grown. Ain't it nice to fly your waving hats off, clouds go by, but want to go exploring, you got to find some truth. You can't spend one more day of Christians shouting down at you. You say you don't dig politics, that never was your bag. People who could run for office wave their private flag.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, WMNF family. This is Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate, and you are listening to the Sunday Forum here on January the 6th, 2019. Happy New Year to everybody. And Alvaro, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Kaya.
Good
morning, everyone.
Lo, how are you doing this morning?
I am great. Happy New Year.
Yes, yes, yes. 2019, like I said last week, you know, whenever there's a new year and like you're writing, you're at the office or whatever, you're still writing 2018 for at least a couple of days. And then there's also the issue of how long after January 1st do you keep telling people Happy New Year? I say most of the month of January, it's still okay. It's still okay. So we have a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be talking about the fact that the most disrespected person in America is the black woman. And for those of you who are Malcolm X aficionados, then you know that that is one of his quotes. And we're gonna play that clip later on. But we are going to be speaking about that in terms of a couple of issues. But our main focus is going to be the incident that happened in St. Petersburg on New Year's Eve, because it addresses a number of issues, namely violence against black women, white privilege, and finally, the symbolism of people of color in the overall understanding of fighting racism. So and their role therein as it relates to black people. So those are going to be the three main large points when it comes to that incident. But before we get to that, first of all, call in at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663 when we get going and you hear the topics that we're talking about and you have a question, you have a comment, you have something to add, please feel free to do that. We'd love to hear from our listeners, love to hear what you have to say, and I make a special effort to make sure I can get to our callers. Facebook Live, getting that set up right now. So I'll wave to you all when we get there. I know Lo's doing her thing over there. Hey, what's going on? Prince coming back. He couldn't stay away. Left his glasses, I see. And indeed. Good to see you. Have a great day. And I also want to let you all know about, you know, the one announcement that we've been making sure you all are aware of, the Toba Breakfast on January 21st, 2019 at 6:45 a.m. at the Tampa Hilton downtown. So that should be an interesting event. The Martin Luther King Breakfast, obviously, in celebration of his birthday. So looking forward to that for those who are interested in that. And we have another hugely news-filled week that just went down over the past 7 days since I last spoke to you guys. And wow, we're still in the midst of this government shutdown. Okay, so we're on what, day 15 or 16 of that. Apparently the longest shutdown that there has been is 21 days. So it doesn't look like there's going to be any end in sight when it comes to that as they continue to go back and forth. Now, Lo, you were talking about, we're going to talk about Nancy Pelosi's comment with regards to Black Lives Matter in a minute. But with regard to the shutdown, she had something to say that was a little bit off, right?
Well, yeah, as far as I went back and because a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
She was in the White House along with Schumer, I believe.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, and they were speaking with Donald Trump. And
45.
Yeah. And the vice president was there as well. So that whole conversation.
Rest in his eyes.
Poker face. Yeah. So basically that conversation, you know, that we were allowed to see and hear was discussing the wall and the fact that she was stating, listen, you don't have the vote, mm-hmm. you know, so don't try to push this through.
Right.
And so he was claiming that he did and so forth, that back and forth went on through that forum. So when she came out after that meeting, still discussing that, still discussing the government shutdown as it pertains to the wall. And recently in her conversation with Joy Reid, she mentioned that the wall and the government shutdown is separate. I'm confused. You know, and so I'm trying to understand, and I heard, you know, the comments that she made after that, and it is still, I'm not understanding why you're now saying that they are separate. What is your agenda now? I'm questioning.
Exactly.
So
I mean, it's this constant concern with politicians. It's as if they think we're stupid, as if we don't listen, as if there isn't such a thing as tape. They constantly are saying things, and it's very easy to fact check them. It's very easy to go back, you know, to what they said before and compare. And in this instance, trying to now divorce it to, even though this is not even over a month ago.
No.
You know, there is record of you saying that this is exactly what that is. Okay, and now that there's some kind of, you know, now, you know, they're feeling their oats a little bit, right? You know, took control of the House and are trying to now say, oh, well, these things are completely separate. Like, make up your mind, mm-hmm. okay? Do not insult our intelligence and, you know, pretend as if we don't recognize what's going on. So, I mean, the whole thing is a complete mess, and it's interesting how the left and right kind of exploits, you know, this particular issue. And we see this kind of being played out in the shutdown. So you saw there was the police officer who was killed by the illegal immigrant. And so the right then exploits that for their purposes, right? So, you know, they're, you know, airing the funeral and all of this and all of this. Okay, yes, it's always horrible when, you know, anybody gets killed. That's horrible. But they're clearly trying to use it in a political way. And then you have the left. Who does the same thing, you know, uses things in a political way as well. You know, like the death of the little girl. And when we talk about Jasmine Sullivan, you notice that they don't have any interest in that. You don't see all the coverage from the white liberals or from the left about that particular young girl's death. So it's all about and coming back full circle to Nancy Pelosi's comment, it's about how can I manipulate the public? Not that I actually sincerely, genuinely care, but how can I be manipulative in order to sway public opinion?
Yeah, but I have a problem with us putting her on the left. You know, she's not left, she's right wing, you know? All of them are right wing.
Well, she is the speaker. I mean, okay, got it, but at least as far as her party, she's the speaker, she's in charge of the Democrats, she's in charge
Look at what she did to the Palestinian woman that was elected to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I think that is really upsetting, or what can you do? You know, this woman, the one from New York, the Latina one that was elected.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Her and this Palestinian woman were, they twisted their arms into supporting this woman, mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi, you know, mm-hmm. who doesn't belong in there, you know, mm-hmm. does not belong in there. Nor the Clintons, nor all of those people. If that's an honest party, you know, if it's an honest party, they don't belong in there. Yeah, it is. I'm pretty certain they're not. But so they have this woman in there. Well, she backstabs her. You know, soon this Palestinian woman puts her whole, you know, the people that back her do not support Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. This woman went out and supported Nancy Pelosi and backed her.
And so did the
Latina woman. Now, this the Palestinian woman talked about impeaching 45, and I think that's her position. That should have been respected. Nancy Pelosi, knowing that this woman just put everything in her line supporting her, should have at least kept quiet about it, you know, mm-hmm. or backed her up or said something that was a little. She let her down and made her look real bad and all that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was horrible. But I think that's what would be expected. That's what you expect from someone.
Yeah,
like her.
I mean, again, you know, we can hope that they would do the right things. But the fact of the matter is, you have both the Democrats and the Republicans, and we've said this before, supporting positions, issues, initiatives, you know, upset about the Syria pullout, you know, warmongering, all of these things that are supposed to be, well, you know, we're not for that or whatever. But when it comes to politics, you know, it's simply a matter of what's going to get me what I want. And it's not about principle. You have very few individuals who are actually statesmen, you know, who stick to their principles. You know, Dennis Kucinich was one, for example, you know, people who didn't vote for the Iraq war when there's all the pressure or whatever. And as far as...
But he was still willing to run along with Ron Paul.
Well,
you know,
a very
right-wing libertarian.
But it's either, okay, you know, so he makes his decision, but at least when it comes to things you can pick out, you know, there are very few people who kind of stood up, and they ended up drawing him out of district, so, you know, he was gone anyway. Yeah. But it's also up to these new, especially these new Congress, you know, these new congressional members to stand their ground. Okay, I'm new here. I would think maybe after being there a while, getting jaded, you know, then comes the influence. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, these are grown women. You know, so Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida, okay, you know, if this is what your constituents want, then you got to go with them. And if you alienate Nancy Pelosi, obviously there was already a jockeying. Obviously she had more than enough votes.
Yeah.
Okay, so stay in your ground.
They give up too easily.
So that's on them.
Gave up their positions almost for free.
You know, I mean, she's doing what she's supposed to do. Like, hey, you know, she's been around the block a while. I mean, she's been a very successful speaker. So, you know,
a warmonger. You know, it's not the first time that they're in a position to speak against war, and they speak for war.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. You're not even going to have. I mean, they already have an inferiority complex about being seen as weak on defense and weak in general. So, you know, to expect them to, you know, do something that they haven't been doing for decades, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Now, their constituents need to hold them responsible, but, you know, they're fine with it. You know, they're fine with it. So, you know, so definitely an interesting development. And speaking of that kind of new Congress, they keep touting it as the most diverse Congress. But the fact of the matter is, and that might be the case, but I think it's important not to get hung up on symbolism, right? And be more concerned about action. I want to know what you are going to do for me as a constituent. I don't care about, you know, oh, well, yes, this is, you know, the most of our, what are you going to do? Let's look at the Congressional Black Caucus, okay? About 75% of them, three out of the four of them, voted for the Blue Lives Matter bill. Okay, what are you doing for me? You know, 80% of them voted for 1033, which was the measure that provided military-like equipment to police forces. Remember when, you know, when that was all going back in 2014 or whatever? I mean, they voted to continue that. So
they all voted in support of Israel, as Israel was massacring the Palestinians, and the United States was going to provide more weapons, and they all voted for that.
Yeah, I mean, so it can't just be about the symbolism. Unless, again, and we've said this many times before on this program, especially when we have our political forums, but even in general, it's about holding people accountable. I'm not interested in, you remember that caller who was upset when I was, you know, right before the elections, and I was talking about how the left and right exploits black pain and suffering, and was very clear about the fact that I am not interested in just what your skin color is with regards to if I'm going to support you. Right? All my skin folk ain't my kinfolk. Mm-hmm. All right? What are you going to do for my community? That's what I want to know. And if the answer to that is not something that's satisfying to me, you're not getting my vote. Simple as that. Simple as that. Yeah. So it needs to be more more than just symbology.
Yes, yes. All of our leaders, even though we don't choose these leaders, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, they're chosen by the Democratic or the Republican Party or the corporations. Those who we feel are close to us need to speak up, you know, and we cannot let them off the hook. We cannot give them a free ride just because they're close to us. They need to speak out on the issues that relate to the community. This young guy that got killed, what is the position of those in our community that are running for office? What are they saying? You know, they need to speak out.
Yeah, I mean, so it's really, and not just, again, we're not stupid, okay? And not just in a way that it is clear that you actually don't care, right? In a way that it's clear this is just about a photo opportunity or let me get in on what's trending or whatever. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. And we are talking about the most disrespected person in America, the black woman, as our main topic. But we're going through current events right now. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Hello there on Facebook. See you guys. Like the page. Share the page. Tell everybody what we're doing here. Make your comments. I'm going to get to them in one of the breaks. Talk about what it is you guys are saying. And we really appreciate the support out there for those of you who are continuing to listen to what it is that we have going on here. So, you know, so we've heard a lot, I guess, you know, this week about the new Congress and the shutdown. But there are some other things we need to keep in mind when talking about these issues. And just a quick carryover from last week. So remember, we were talking about healthcare in the black community, right? And how there were studies reflecting that black patients are giving less pain medicine, for example. That there's bias and there's racism. I hate when they try to minimize what it is. You know, racialism and all this. It's racism. You know, unconscious bias. It's racism. Well, I cited a 2000 Emory study that demonstrated the failure to give proper pain medication by emergency response individuals to black people. But there's just been a recent study that came out here in 2018 from Oregon. It's actually from the Oregon Health and Science University and the Oregon Institute of Technology that corroborates that even, you know, 18 years later, I mean, not that we thought it would go away, but it corroborates that this continues in the emergency and in the emergency response field. So, I mean, just but I wanted, because we were talking about that last week and this just came out, I wanted to let you guys know about that. And then,
and Kaya, if I can
go ahead.
Yeah, with that ER, it's important that you understand why we're speaking of the ER, because many black people, they don't tend to, are less than our counterparts, I'll speak to it that way,
right,
use the method of prevention method, rather, and when it comes to our health care, we tend to go to the ER most times when we do seek health care.
Right, right. And
that also means lack of health insurance.
Yes.
Health coverage.
Yes.
Absolutely. Lack of health coverage, and also the inability, you know, therefore, you know, connected to that, of course, the inability to then ensure that you are the inability to ensure that you have, you know, the kind of care, mm-hmm. you know, that you actually need. So, you know, those things are really important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked before about the fact that we didn't have, speaking of, you know, black people, et cetera, there was some other good news about elections where there was the swearing in of 19 black female judges in Texas, right? 19. And there were 17 that were new. And I want to say that that was the largest number that had been sworn in, actually, at one time. So this is in Harris County, Texas. And so, you know, great news. They ran on a black girl magic. Yeah, they specifically ran on a black girl magic for a political forum, I guess you should say, a platform, I mean. So, you know, that was pretty exciting that they were, you know, hey, okay, we're going to focus on what it is that makes us special, and we're going to continue with that. So that was a really good thing that happened. So we were really glad to see that. And you also had, we were talking about Pelosi before and what it was that, you know, she had said. I mean, just a lot of things. And she really got dragged for this, which is unfortunate because, you know, she's just, you know, taking over as the speaker again, which I think was the first time that, first of all, she was the first woman speaker. But I think it had been 55 years before someone took over again twice as speaker. So that was actually, you know, rather historic. So I really thought that was really great. And
what was great?
I thought that it was great that you had a woman who was in charge as a speaker.
If she were on our side, that would be good. But she's not on our side.
Well, she's not. But it's good to. I mean, listen. To none of these Democrats or Republicans, given how it is that we see things, are on our side. They are just about themselves and not about doing what's right for the people. You have very few. I would say Chakwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi, is one of the few politicians who was like, he ended up dying mysteriously, but he was very unusual in that regard. I mean, very, very focused on the people. That's very unusual.
Yeah.
And especially not in Congress. You know, he was the Jackson, Mississippi mayor, actually, and was the one who was able to make it like a real difference, I really felt. But coming back to Nancy Pelosi, so she was on MSNBC. She was on Joy Reid's show and was having a forum. And she made some comments that turned out to be actually quite controversial, where she was talking about Black Lives Matter. Now, I'm going to play the clip here, but it speaks to this constant issue we have of trying to deflect when the conversation comes to black people and black lives. So we're going to hear this from Nancy, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Congratulations on the election. Do you support the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, I support the recognition that Black Lives Matter, for sure, and I have incorporated that in many of my statements. I think it is, all lives matter, yes, but we really have to redress past grievances in terms of how we have addressed the African American community. I had a real privilege yesterday to address the swearing in of the new Black Caucus members. At least eight new members elected from places that are not majority mm-hmm. Black communities. So this was a real breakthrough. So I think that we're all, you know, working together to make sure that every part of our community, whether it's the immigrant community, whether it's the Black community, whether it's women's community and the rest, not only matter, but rule.
So, a couple of things there from Speaker Pelosi. Number one, you were asked about Black Lives Matter, okay? Why did you feel the need to even mention All Lives Matter? You know, you have to be aware of the tension that exists when it comes to this constant need to deflect from the issue of black lives, right? I mean, that's why that phrase even came into existence. Black lives matter, blue lives matter, again, with the appropriation from black people, by the way, okay? But why even talk about that, okay? Now, I mean, it's a rhetorical question. I think we kind of know why. And that is reflected in some of the other things she said, right? When she goes on about, yes, and then there are other groups and women and all this. Again, that wasn't the question. The question was about Black Lives Matter, okay? Again, no need to deflect about other groups. If you want to talk about other groups in some other context, if the question had been, you know, what do we need to see in a marginalized community? Okay, that makes sense. But it doesn't make sense in this context to talk about that. And then she also talked about, we need to talk about past grievances. Past grievances? You know, as if, you know, racism is done, okay? And there's no need to actually talk about that. No.
Post-race society.
Yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Talk about preventative racism, not past grievances.
Exactly. I mean, every single day, you know, we have instances of racism. But in those three items, the deflection to All Lives Matter, the past grievances, and in the talking about the fact that you know there are other groups, what is consistent in all three of those things is trying to appeal, right, to a demographic, a white demographic. That is what is common about that. She didn't have to do that. If she wanted to do that, she could do that on another question. Why do that on that question about Black Lives Matter? It's a serious issue. Now I have my own concerns about Black Lives Matter. I think it's an appeal, frankly, to whites. I mean, we already know our lives matter, so who are you talking to, okay? And after, you know, all these centuries, they don't care. But okay, you know, the impetus is great and the objective is great to try and address these issues. But for there to be a deflection to these issues is about this kind of appeal. And we see that with, you know, throughout the left, throughout liberal outlets, New York Times constantly doing pieces about how do we get to these rural voters, as if there aren't black rural voters. You know, they use these terms that are purportedly supposed to be neutral, but really they're talking about white people. They're not talking about the black people who also are involved in those groups. Again, rural voters, etc. So there's that constant appeal, and that's what she was trying to do. And it's insulting, you know? Focus on black lives, because that's what the question was about. I don't know how many, I didn't watch that whole thing. I'm sure she got a lot of questions, but that's not what that question was about. So, you know, Nancy could have done better there.
I think these people are really worn out. I don't think they, I mean, if one problem that I find with the Democratic Party, aside of the fact or the main object or the main focus is that they don't deal with the issues of the community, that they're not there to represent the people, is that they have revitalized a lot of their local, the local leadership and their local people. They have dealt raised issues like the $15 wage and other issues, vital issues in the community at the local level.
Right.
Then they take all this energy from a lot of activists and hand it over to these crooks. So these people that have shown over and over and over again that they don't belong there, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to do with the fact that the Democratic Party is owned by corporations, you know? They have no interest in really representing the people.
Absolutely. And not just the Democrats.
Republicans too. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm going to play a clip not today, because I don't have it today, but I listened to a great speech by Amos Wilson, and it's amazing how prescient he is, and he's talking just about that when it comes to voting and it comes to corporations and who actually has the control. And he mentions that, you know, they're not running for office, you know, these corporate, they're not running for office, but they have enormous influence. And control. Yeah. Yeah.
Control.
So most
people have to vote. You know, they go in there and they have to vote in a particular way. They're told how to vote.
Yeah. I mean, but again, you know, where's the backbone? Like, as you mentioned, you already have Rashida and Alexandria bowing to the pressure.
Immediately.
Even though you ran on You know, I'm going to fight the power.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, they buckled so quickly.
You know, so and so soon. Again, maybe a year in or, you know, after you get jaded. But, you know, my goodness. You know,
for a little while, I was on their side. You know, I said, yeah. Oh, wow, man. Yeah,
and,
great.
And there are some things. I mean, I know that she had the sit-in. Ocasio-Cortez did. And did vote against Pelosi on a budget thing or something like that. So there's some little acts
they do,
of
they do have some positive things, but yeah, it doesn't leave a good impression. It doesn't leave energy, the right energy, when first issue you give in already, you know,
at least in the first week. So again, give us a call at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. This is WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate, and we are going over our current events, which always take us a whole bunch of time, and we're almost already ready for a break, but we got a couple callers I want to get in. But our topic today is going to be the most disrespected person in America is the black woman, and we're going to be speaking about the St. Petersburg incident that occurred in McDonald's. While we're going over our current events, check it out. Go see the video if you haven't seen it.
Right.
St. Pete, McDonald's, Yasmin James. Look it up. And when we start talking about that in the second hour, you know exactly what we're referring to.
I'm amped up this morning.
Oh, let's yeah. Oh, man. We're going to get to it. Going to get to it. All right. So let's hear from Daryl in Tampa. Daryl in Tampa, you are on the Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate, 88.5. Daryl.
Hello, Ms. Kaya. How you doing?
I'm well. How you doing, Daryl?
Okay. And I like the Fourth Estate. But let me ask you, since you brought up the question about Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. I have a burr under my saddle when it comes to Black Lives Matters. And I am black. And I heard Nancy Pelosi's statement about Black Lives Matter. Let me put the question to you this way. Are you planning on any time in the future having anybody from Black Lives Matter on your show to question them about their stances and their beliefs?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's something that's planned out. I mean, if something comes up and they need to come on, that's fine. But, you know, there isn't anything that's planned out right now. I'm very familiar with them. I've read and been on the websites. And obviously, there's Movement for Black Lives. There's Black Lives Matter. There are a bunch of different chapters. So, you know, lots going on there.
Okay. The reason
it wouldn't be a bad idea.
The reason why I said that is because, and I think I've called before, okay, and I brought this up before. Do you know that Black Lives Matter, they took major funding from a Republican? And a lot of you know him. He's gone now. He's Prince. But he was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Lives Matter, I remember the 2016 campaign. And I remember a lot of Democratic meetings, especially like Hillary Clinton, when they were, you know, wanting people to give them their votes. They would bum rush the stage. Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter.
Yep, Bernie
but
Sanders.
When it came to Republican, I ain't hardly seen them nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you can always come to Democratic functions and telling people don't vote for her and don't do this. Some of this, with this joker we got in the White House now, I'm going to call him what he is. He ain't no president. He's a dictator. Some of that's on them. Because they formulated the atmosphere that caused a lot of people, and I try to tell people, black people, we stay home. And Hillary Clinton was stupid because she did not engender, you know, gin up her base, which is the black community. They didn't do that, okay? But I would like to know from Black Lives Matter and just giving them unswerving loyalty, you know, just because you use the term Black Lives Matter, and it does, against police shootings and people brutalizing our people, where were you? I didn't see you nowhere bum-rushing the stage at a Donald Trump rally. Okay, I didn't see you nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did demonstrate against
that's gotta be. That's got to be said. That can't be swept under the rug, and that can't be pushed aside.
They did go to his rallies, and they were kicked out of there. But Daryl, I don't think we can put the whole presidential election on Black Lives Matter. Let me say something. No. You said that some of that needed to be placed on them.
Hold on, Daryl. Let him finish, and then you'll speak.
I think that why attack the Democratic Party and not the Republican? I think that most people realize that where the Republican Party is, and also, you know, maybe you're right. They should have been attacked too. But the Democratic Party often gets a free ride, you know. And I think that they're focusing on Hillary Clinton. Yes, Hillary Clinton has gotten a free ride and has been what was that the term she used?
Super predators.
Super predators. That's only
that was her husband. Yeah, her husband.
Yeah, and
no,
her husband.
No, that was her.
That was her. Yeah. And her husband jailing people like crazy. She has gotten her Nancy Pelosi. Bill Clinton, all these people have gotten a free ride when they have been enemies of the community. So, Black Lives Matter.
Hold on. You finish your comment, and then Daryl, you can finish your comment.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter focusing on them is a good thing. I think that they should have focused also on the Republicans, but I don't think we should knock them for confronting the fake supporters that we have.
Okay, go ahead and respond, and Daryl, and then we have another caller on I want to get to, but I want you to go ahead and respond, and then I'm going to also respond.
But also, not just the Clintons, the Democratic Party also.
Yes.
Like Joe Biden.
Yes.
He came down here a couple of years ago, I think last year, okay, and they didn't let black legislators speak on the stage with them. That's my contention with the Democratic Party. I'm not saying that the Democratic Party ain't got nothing in this too. They do too.
Yes.
But I'm saying if we're gonna do with Black Lives Matter, they gotta both hands gotta be shown. You guys showed up at the Democratic convention, but you didn't show up at Republicans. That can't be ignored.
Okay. So let me just say this. I too have an issue with. I mean, it's almost like, you know, this is the group of people with whom I deal the most, and so I see Alvaro's point of kind of focusing your attention on the people who don't get the attention, because we do know where the Republicans are coming from. But I do also think that there should be, and there were black people who were, you know, taken out of things, but there wasn't the same kind of approach to them. Okay. And I think that there is something to that. And this isn't just a whole, I mean, you heard me say, I have an issue with the overall focus of essentially still trying to beg white folks. But the objective is clear in that Black Lives Matter, and I understand you said that, Black Lives Matter, and it is important for black people to stand up against police brutality. And again, not necessarily in the way that they are going about doing things, but still the message is important. And you know, we'll see. There are a lot of things that account for the loss, okay? And I know you didn't say that it was just them, okay? It was a lot of things, and that is true. But at the end of the day, you had a flawed candidate whom I didn't vote for.
Terribly flawed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what you need to win. You need votes. And that's not what she had. So, yeah, I appreciate the criticism. I think it is warranted. And I do think that, though, that there are a number of other issues that are at play when it comes to, you know, why it is that we lost. But, hey, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate you continue to listen, Daryl.
Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah, we have Julia in Tampa. Julia in Tampa, you are on the Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate here on WMNF 88.5. How are you doing this afternoon or this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Julia from WMNF.
Hello, Julia.
Okay. All right. Hey, go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. I don't have a problem with what Nancy Pelosi said, and I'm hoping that her nod toward past grievances is an acknowledgement of reparations due people of African descent in this country. The United Nations has already stated that we're due reparations. They're doubtful that we'll ever get them, but I'm hoping that was.
You're giving it too much credit.
Way too much credit. Let her finish.
I'm talking now, okay? Let me talk. Just like I don't want, you know, other people talking over other people. I don't want people talking
Hey, listen, just go ahead, continue with your comment. That's why I told him to let you go ahead and talk. Okay. So, hey, okay. Let's keep this appropriate.
I think that as people of color, especially African-American people, I think that we have almost a need to have people have 100% agreement with us and to say things exactly the way that we would say things. And I think my mantra this year has been, you know, 7.6 billion people on the planet, 7.6 billion different ways of doing things. Which way is the correct way? You know, and I think that we have to recognize wins when we see them. And I think that we have to recognize that critical mass is what we're after. We're never going to get 100% of anything. No one is ever going to get 100%. You know, if we could get critical mass, that's what we need to win. And I think that we need to stop alienating potential allies. And I just think that we just need to learn how to work together better. And, you know, she's not a black person. She hasn't had our experiences. She's not going to have the passion about our agenda the way that we do.
Mm. Well, let me say this. One, I do believe that you're giving her too much credit. Two, this notion that we need to accept after centuries of mistreatment, of terrorizing, of being terrorized, daily incidents of racism, that when it comes to someone like, and someone is a politician, this is not just some random person. This is the Speaker of the House. This is a very seasoned politician who's been in for decades. And our legit criticism that she brings All Lives Matter into to a Black Lives Matter comment, I think is completely appropriate. And as far as alienating allies, if they are not interested in doing away with racism, white supremacy, given what it is that we've been through, because this is something they use all the time, right? This constant notion of, well, you know, I'm going to withdraw my allyship. Either you are for what we're doing, you are for the eradication of systemic racism, white supremacy, or you're not. And if you're not, you can keep it moving, because I'm not here to give you cookies. I'm not here for your virtue signaling. Okay, you are about that business, and I've said this many times before. There are 340 million people here, 230 million white. And if they were focused, even a tiny fraction of them, on getting rid of systemic racism, white supremacy, they would. So criticism, if they can't take it, they need to get it, keep it moving. Now, her Black Lives Matter, to All Lives Matter, given what it is that we've said about that, she should have known. Number two, past grievances. This is not new amongst white people. It's not new to try to minimize racism, what it is today, which is why after Barack Obama was elected, it was post-racial this and post-racial that. So that is consistent with that. And then her talking about other groups, also something that we see all the time. So, you know, we appreciate when there are allies who are doing good work. I talk about Jane Elliott. I talk about a lot of folks who are doing some great things. But when they step in it, it needs to be called out, or they say something, because otherwise, you know, how are they going to know? And if they don't like it and they want to walk, then keep it moving.
Okay, I just wonder why the reporter did not question her on her statement of past grievances. I would like to have heard more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Joy Reid, you know, didn't do that. I mean, I actually listened to her follow up, and it wasn't even about that actually. Mm. So you know. So hey, you know, we'll see. You know what Nancy does, but I'm not holding my breath. But hey, thanks a lot for your call, Julia.
Well, you know, like you and I are gonna have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you won't be the first person. You won't be the first person. All right.
I just say, you know, follow up on the past grievances, because that's an issue too, and I think we are due reparations, and I think that's a huge issue. In addition to the respect that I have for the Black Lives Matter issue, okay, I just think I truly think too that all lives matter. We have a lot of people in this country who are suffering under the
I'm not surprised,
and everything else. Okay.
So, All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a great day. And I'm definitely not giving Nancy Pelosi this notion that she meant reparations. She meant what she meant. So, okay, hey, let's go to a break. We are way over.
And happy.
We are definitely way over when it comes to getting our break in, and we want to go to a break, as always, with a song, right? So we're going to have something that is awesome. As always, we focus mainly on neo-soul. But that's not the only thing we're going to be hearing today. But here's an underground artist that I really like, and I would love for you all to hear. And, you know, people always ask us about, wasn't there someone calling last week who wanted to know who it was that we were playing?
Yeah.
So you're getting it all here on WMNF 88.5, WMNF Tampa with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. You're getting analysis, talking about our current events. Our main event today is going to be the St. Pete incident. We're going to start talking about that here in about 10 minutes or so, and getting down and deep into that, because there were a lot of very, very interesting developments. Mm-hmm. And even just looking at the actual tape itself, mm-hmm. I mean, there are just so many things that were like, oh my goodness. So this is a group called The Internet. They are neo-soul, underground neo-soul, like them quite a bit. And the name of this song is Come Over. This is Come Over by The Internet from their album Hive Mind.
Now you're wrong.
Estate is a dynamic radio show designed to bring unique, intelligent, and unapologetic perspectives on race, culture, and politics to radio. With renowned guests, heated exchanges.
Let me tell you, I am just furious about the conversation you are having. This is not a black and white issue.
Well, your point is one that we hear racist whites make all the time.
And topics designed to empower the community. This show is not to be missed. Tune in Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WMNF 88.5. All right, all right. Welcome back. This is WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. Alvaro, you got something for us?
Yeah.
Go ahead and take it away. Take it away.
It's a promo for a donation to the station. And they say the happiest day of your life is when you buy a boat. They say the second happiest day of your life is when you get rid of it. That's pretty funny. Instead of the hassle of selling it, donate your vote to your boat to WMNF. Call 1-888-966-3885 or go to WMNF.org and watch that boat sail away. All right. Pronounce boat like vote.
Okay, yeah, I would like to have a nice boat, a yacht, actually. And we have another promotion here to let you know about. So WMNF has a big concert coming February 1st with two of our favorite bands, Drive-By Truckers and Lucinda Williams. The concert at Janice Live is already selling fast. You can get tickets and information at WMNF.org events. And check this out. We have another donation we're going to talk about. If your car needs more than a tune-up to spring back to life, donate it to WMNF. The pickup is free and your generosity keeps your favorite programs on all year. And like Alvaro said, we take boats. But we also wanted you to know about this is that WMNF accepts vehicle donations and will gladly worry about the sale and the paperwork so you don't have to. So again, we will pick this not so cool Hot Wheels up at a time that's convenient for you. So again, call 1-888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org and thanks. So back to Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate Sunday Forum, WMNF 88.5.
All right. Getting it together. All right. We got Deandra from Riverview on the line. Let's hear from Deandra from Riverview. Deandra, can you hear us on 88.5, the Sunday Forum?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Good morning.
Good morning. Deandra.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, good morning. I was wanting to touch base on what the last caller was saying. And when it comes to Black Lives Matter, I appreciate the topic, but I feel like they were a distraction to a degree. Now, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Black lives are pitted up against the rural voter. We're put up against Wall Street. We're pitted up against Israel. I mean, believe it or not, in my opinion, we're pitted up against so many groups in America that it's strange that it's not realized. And we're also removed from our source of power, which is the Black Caucus. Okay, so it's just my feeling. HBCUs, Black Caucus, there are other groups, you know, the Urban League and so forth. I feel like we have ultimately been removed and dismantled. So, like she was saying, I do agree that we're like fragmented, all right? But we're also up against so much. I'm not going to say, you know, all lives matter here, because I'm pointing my best to all the lives that we're subversively pitted up against. Yes, we do need our allies, but more than anybody, we need ourselves to go ahead and break down a lot of, for ourselves to understand the different, you know, facets that, you know, have been engineered to offset us from success as a group in this country. Okay, so I just wanted to say that real quick.
Yeah, DeAndre, thank you very much for your comment. You know, I agree. And, you know, we are in a very unique position. We are a very unique position as a people, and how race and racism is conceptualized as it pertains to us vis-a-vis other folks. And there is often an effort to divide and distract, but we have to make, this is why it's important to understand that racism, white supremacy is not going anywhere, and that our focus should be on our people. Okay, you talked about a bunch of different groups coming together, etc. And frankly, a lot of these groups, are not working for us, as you noted. Okay, I talked about the CBC earlier, and the ways in which people get distracted, and the ways in which people, you know, they're chasing the dream, or you know, whatever it is, they want to keep their power as far as politicians or even some of these organizations. Or you know, you talked about the NAACP, which in many ways, I mean, yeah, there's some great things that they do, but as an organization, you know, you look at a lot of the lack of focus on the things. When it comes to the things of import, when it comes to our community, when you have to constantly reach out to donors, et cetera. Again, there are things that they do, obviously, and there are a bunch of chapters all over the place. But the bottom line is this. We as a people, the stats are all there. Every single measure, okay, that you can come up with, you see that we lag behind. And after these decades of supporting these groups, or supporting this, you know, supporting the Democrats or whatever, what do we have to show for it? There has to be results. There has to be accountability.
Exactly.
There has to be a lack of trying to appeal to white people and looking for their validation and approval. Again, like I said to the last caller, either